welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Crabby Christian,
a Misfit Media Network production.
I am your host and resident Crabby Christian, Blake, and every week I get to have the coolest conversations with incredible people about all the things most Christians are still not sure we're allowed to talk about. So if you've been looking for a place to land with all your crap, and for someone to just be honest about what it looks like to walk through this Christian life, well, you've come to the right place. Pull up a seat, pop in your headphones and tune out your kids, and come hang out with me and a guest for the authentic conversations that you have been looking for. All right, welcome back to the show. If you missed it, surprise, we're homeschooling this summer. And I thought that it would be appropriate to get on here and have a conversation with my partner in crime, who is going to be helping in the homeschool adventure.
What's up, y'all?
I'm just going to give the disclaimer now. We are recording on one mic. Our faces are very close to each other, and we are recording on one mic because trying to hook up two mics made me nearly lose my Christianity. This is a homespun podcasting adventure. I don't have all the fancy equipment. We tried to hook up two mics. It didn't work. And it was more important to me that we get the content out and the conversation had than me throwing a hissy fit for God knows how long I would have thrown the hissy fit for, to be honest. So like I said, this summer, our kids' last day is May 23rd, and we will be jumping headfirst into
homeschool
adventure. I've been pretty open online about the process, and I just shared all of our curriculums that we're going to be using last week, but the reality is getting to the point where we made the decision was very much an us process. And it's kind of funny because we like started out in the same place of we're never going to homeschool. And then I got really on board and excited about it. And then you got on board and excited about it. So it's just been a process. And I had a lot of DMs from other like women and wives and mothers who are like, how did you get your husband on board with homeschooling? I don't feel like I got you on board.
No, I think it was a combination of you and then just some eye-opening moments. And then just, you informed me about a lot of things that are different now than it was in the 90s when, you know, I was coming up. And the outlook of what homeschooling was versus what it is now, and the utilities and the things that are available to you and the people that are available to you and just the groups, you know, versus like, you know, when we heard about it in the 90s, it was more like an isolated thing. Not many people did it. And so it was just different, you know, and the social aspect was different. Definitely for me, a big deal because I wanted our children to still be social with everyone else. And so once you really showed me the things that are available, and then also our friends showing me the things that are available, that was always my true fear, was the social aspect.
I think there was more to it for you as well. And we're going to get there. I want to kind of back up a little bit. So I would say we've been parents for 9 years, and I would say I spent the first 6 of those not even on the fence about homeschooling. I was a hardcore, I could never.
Right.
I could never homeschool. My best friend, since our kids were born, has never sent her kids to school, has always been a homeschool mom. And she and I would have conversations and I would tell her, you're amazing. You're superwoman. It could never be me.
Sure. Because people are built differently.
Exactly. And that would be your response. Because I would kind of get in my feelings a little bit and be like, am I failing my children for not wanting to do this and be on board with that? And I don't think that that's true. I don't think that if you send your children to school, you're failing them.
Absolutely.
I think that's like a weird lie that gets thrown into the conversation. And I've had people DM me and say like that they're just thankful that I'm navigating this conversation without shame and guilt for people that aren't.
Yeah.
Like a given.
100%. Like it isn't for everyone. This has been a blessing for us is the way we're looking at it now versus, you know, maybe something that could be very hard, which it will have its hardships also, but it's a blessing for us.
And I don't know that I could have homeschooled them when they were 1 and 3.
Sure, sure.
Right?
The
life.
The growth.
In the season of life we were in and the person that I was and what I was prioritizing, it's just all changed so dramatically. So I'm just trying to give some context to the fact that this was not on the table.
No, yeah. I mean, I was working 60 plus hours a week.
Right.
You were already taking care of a home and taking care of our girls.
And building a business at the time.
And building this.
So there is no part of this conversation for me that's like, this is what everyone should do, because I don't think that I could have done this 5 years ago.
Right.
I just wasn't in the place. My kids were too small. I just wasn't mentally, physically, emotionally in the place to be open to it. But I think for me, 2020 was what really cracked that wide open. It was the lockdowns. It was being together that much. And we have another episode. I went and looked back. It's 176 is the episode that we recorded when you left your job. And we talk in that episode a pretty good amount about how much that time together shifted our perspective and really changed the priorities and the trajectory for our family and what we wanted. And the first step of that was you leaving your job and starting your own thing. And so this is just kind of like almost a natural next step. And so I think we just got a taste of a slower pace. So you had, like you referenced earlier, you were working 60-hour weeks and you went to, what was it? Was it 3 on, 4 off?
Yeah. During the lockdown, we got to work 3 days on, essentially 4 days off, because Sunday, nobody worked. And it just was very eye-opening for us. And even at work, the conversation jokingly, everybody, but I think everybody was kind of serious at the same time, was like, man, I would do whatever it took to keep this schedule.
Exactly. And so we did.
Right. We did. Like, it took us a little bit more time.
Yeah.
And then we figured out that this is what we wanted. We knew that there would be sacrifices involved with that. But yeah, I think this is a natural next step for us. And it's not for everybody. You really have to think deep about whether this is undertaking you would want to take.
Yeah. And so I would say 2020 was what really kicked that off for me. By 2022, 23, I was pretty heavily in the camp of, I'm ready to homeschool. I want to do this. And there was definitely a season where we were at odds about it.
Sure.
We weren't, I don't feel like we were fighting about it.
No, it was never a fighting, but it was just, I was not open yet. I didn't have the knowledge or the vision of it, really, and how we would make it work, and could we do it, mm-hmm. and all the hundreds of questions that come into play.
And I will say, retrospectively, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you took your time, and that, I don't mean this in like a toot my own horn way, but that I like gave you the time to get on board with it, because for one, this is not the kind of thing that you undertake when you are not 100% both on board, on the same page, ready to do it together. Because while I may be doing a majority of the educating, we have to be partners.
Yeah, we have to be a team, 100%. Right. Like you got to be both on board. And God just used that time as well to position you better to mm-hmm. be able to handle what we're about to undertake as well.
And that was what I was going to say is, I'm thankful and on the emotional side of being on the same page and both being on board and 100%, but then also just logistically, could we have done it? Let's say 2022. Could we have done it? Sure. It would have been significantly harder. And so to me, this situation is just one more example of the ways that God will use the in-between and the limbo to prepare us for what he has for us. You know, and so right. I spent the last 2 years really getting my business to a place where it runs like a well-oiled machine. And yes, it requires me, right? Like, I'm a content creator. It's me. But also, I've worked to a place where I can afford to not be as available, not be as saturated in work, and pull back from that a little bit and essentially offer my family more of myself, which I'm sure that there are some people that are like, well, it should be that way all the time. Right. That's great. I love that for you. It just hasn't been our journey.
Yeah. And who knows, like God putting it in the way he did, right. We could have done it. We've been maybe a little bit more at odds and tension might have been a little higher.
Would we have loved it?
Right. It might have been hard and we might have failed at it.
Yeah.
And so that's where our two personality types come into play and they work for each other. You tend to see something and you go for it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, let's wait. And if it was up to me sometimes, we would always wait. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it was up to you, we'd do it all right away.
Yep.
And so the two, because we've grown together and have really learned a lot about each other, we have learned how to meet in the middle, or at least lean towards each other
right.
a little bit more And usually, I'd say more than 90% of the time, the outcome is much better than if it would have either be all my way or all your way.
Right. And I think learning to not view those things as weaknesses in one another is huge. You know, like, if we're being honest, I used to look at your slowness. I don't know.
Lack of movement.
Yeah. Like your cautiousness, maybe. Yeah. And it would make me crazy because it was like,
sure,
you're going to lead us into just the most cautious life.
And from my position, it was always like, man, we could just throw everything away right here, right now. And so there's moments for each.
Right.
There's moments for each. And there's definitely a lot of middle ground that we can both find.
Yeah. So all that to say, by 2022, I'm pretty ready to homeschool. We start having more consistent conversations about it. I would say it was over a year.
Oh, yeah. It was quite some time.
That we were just talking about it and going back and forth. I want you to share some of the other concerns that you had. The socialization was a big one. You were worried that our kids were just going to be really isolated and not be around other kids.
So, yeah, you know, I think everybody worries about their own knowledge level. And can you teach someone else the skills and each of these subject matters?
Right.
And so some of it we will be relearning over time. I mean, that's just part of it. I haven't used fractions in a while. So,
but what I explained to you that actually was really eye-opening from having conversations with people like my followers was teachers. I had teachers DMing me saying, right, but I'm not a master of this subject
right.
that I'm teaching.
Sure.
You know, teachers, a lot of the time, especially on the elementary level, which is the grades that our kids are in, they're going to college to learn classroom management and how to handle different kinds of kids and how to build a curriculum, how to follow a schedule, those right. kinds of things. And so I had a lot of teachers DMing me going, no.
Yeah, I'm no mathematician.
Right.
I'm not a scientist.
I'm Googling before the lesson, too.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and as a homeschool parent, you don't need classroom management skills. You don't right. need the same kind of scheduling abilities. And that was really helpful for both of us,
right.
I think, because I am not good at math. I am going to thrive teaching our children English language arts because I love that stuff. But I got a very sturdy math curriculum. On purpose, because
absolutely.
It's not a strength of mine, and it's something that our children need to learn.
And it's where I can help out.
Right.
We each learn that we can help out in these subjects extensively if we need to be. And so there's math is more my strong suit, and language arts is more yours, mm-hmm. whereas I'm not as good with that type of thing.
Right.
And so
another thing that was really helpful for you in that was, and I can remember exactly where we were on airline by the Canes. And we were talking about the educational piece of it. And I think this was after you had gotten on board and mm-hmm. we had made the decision, but you got on board still with some questions and concerns.
Well, sure. Yeah. I think that's part of my personality.
And you were talking about the ability to teach them. And you kind of said something along like, I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
Da, da, da. And my response was, so why are we going to send our kids through a system that left us feeling ill-equipped to teach them?
Correct. Yeah.
And that's not a slam at teachers. That's not a slam at either of our education. But the fact that we came out the other end of traditional schooling, I had a short stint of homeschooling. We both came out the other end, private and public educated, feeling like we couldn't teach our own kids.
Right.
That's a problem.
Sure.
So, let's try something different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other concern, and probably the biggest concern for me, was more along the lines of your stress level mm-hmm. taking on this load. And there was a time, probably the first, when we were like, oh, no, we couldn't do this. You probably couldn't
probably
have done it,
couldn't
right?
Have,
you
right.
know, I mean, you were young. You hadn't grown into a place where God really has you thriving like he does now.
Mm-hmm.
And so through all the stress management and anxiety management and all these different things that you've learned, these skills you've learned so well now, back then, even though it was, you know, it was on the table, like something you wanted to do, it wasn't the right time for you.
And that's a hard, can we just admit that that is a difficult thing to tell a spouse?
100%. That's why I never told you for a long time.
And even when you did, express that. It still, like, it was a little hurtful.
Sure.
I can say now, a little more removed from that hurt, you were 100% correct. Hair loss can be confusing. It's not just about losing strands of hair. It's a whole body thing. Your hair is like your skin's best friend, and it shows what's up with your health inside and out. And Nutrafol gets that. They take a holistic approach, tackling things like stress, wonky hormones, nutritional gaps, to give you hair that's thicker, stronger, and just overall awesome. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. And at the end of the day, fixing hair thinning is not a one-size-fits-all situation. Nutrafol has different formulas to suit your needs, whether you're dealing with postpartum stuff, hitting menopause, or there are just gaps in your nutrition. These supplements, created by brilliant doctors with no drugs, are all about helping your hair grow strong from the inside out. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code BLAKE. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com is spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code BLAKE. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code BLAKE.
Right, but it doesn't make it any easier
for
one part of the couple to say to the other. It doesn't matter which one, husband or
right.
wife.
Telling your spouse, like, I don't think you're ready for this thing you think you're ready for. And obviously, like, we have to be careful to not play each other's Holy Spirit and not tell one another what we're ready for or what God's calling us to. And you framed that when we were having the conversations about it. You framed it less about my ability and capacity and maturity and more just around the reality of our life and what was on my
time scale.
Right. Like what was on my plate and what I was capable of. And like, I'm not going to lie and say I was open to it and super receptive.
Right.
It hurt. And I can remember being like, I'm telling you I can do this. I'm telling you I want to do this. And you don't believe me. And that was hard.
Sure. And it wasn't a matter of want. I knew you wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was more of, like you said, just the time scale right then and there. Like you were busting your butt building this thing and also being a mom and also being a home.
And I was writing a book.
And writing a book.
Yeah.
And I was still working a lot. And so it just shows like God's plan is always greater than both of ours because everything came to fruition that we wanted it to come to fruition. It just was on his timeline and not our timeline.
Exactly.
And so, you know, once we started getting ourselves there, I started seeing the light of things. And, you know, through a lot of conversation with our other friends who are currently, and some always have done it, put a lot less concern in it for me and my concern being you.
Mm-hmm.
Our children, like... We're going to educate our children. We're going to make sure that they get a good education one way or the other. But the stress level that you would have to go through it was a big deal for me.
Yeah. So I would say those were your big three. It was the socialization, their education, and just my capacity and ability to kind of take this on. So going through those, for the socialization piece, I think that was really the benefit of how much we talk and how, we talk a lot. We communicate a lot. And I was just open to answering your questions and showing you, you know, what was available. And I can remember feeling like, but I'm not even trying yet. I'm not trying to homeschool and to take care of that socialization piece. But look how much is available to us.
Right.
Without effort.
Sure.
Look how much is available to us. I think that was really helpful.
It was like
just you had no idea.
I had no idea. Yeah, that's to be fair. It's not something, you know, when we were really young and before we had kids, it was not something on our plate. And like we did not, you know, we always talked about kids from day one, but that was never on our radar of options.
No, homeschooling was not a part of the conversation. Like I said earlier, I think for the first like 5 years of being parent.
Yeah. It just it wasn't something we wanted either. No. Like God had not put that on our heart that we wanted to do it. Neither one of us.
No.
And so typical, Blake starts thinking about things and Jeremy is not thinking about things. And so when you came to me at first with it, I was like, holy cow, like, yeah, this is just out of left field, like, thinking about doing this.
We had to really trudge through undoing what homeschooling is.
Sure.
And that it is not the homeschooling of the 90s.
Correct. Correct.
And we said that a lot when we were talking about this. Remember, this is not the homeschooling of the 90s.
Right.
We have the internet. There are so many online resources, right, and opportunities. And also just the rate at which homeschooling has grown.
Yeah.
That kind of gives this aspect of it feeling so much less lonely, or like you're walking into something nobody has done. The growth of homeschooling in the United States has been so insanely exponential since 2020 alone. Like, I think it was tracking at between 2% and 6% growth before 2020. And then the numbers from 2020 to 2021 almost doubled.
Yeah.
Of families that are homeschooling. Yeah. I mean, look at the school that we are leaving, which, sweet little Christian private school, it has done its job. There's a significant number of families leaving to homeschool. And I don't think it's because of the school. I think it's because of the movement.
Absolutely. It's really getting back to our grassroots, like going way back, you know.
Exactly.
Everybody was schooled at home or at a small little building right up the road where, right, the small community, like, imagine us, we're on this one street,
yeah,
neighborhood that we're in. And there was just this little building out front that's where all the kids in this neighborhood went to school.
Right.
And so it was completely different, you know, for years,
yeah,
until the new standardized system came about.
And that was a really big part of it for me, was when, so my kind of awakening to all of the things happened right before COVID hit, because it was 2019, was when we kind of uncovered everything with vaccines. And the truth of that. And that was kind of my slingshot into that world. And so over the last 5 years, it has just been a process of questioning everything that we've been taught, every system we've been placed in, and just asking why. And with my business going the way that it has and our life and family looking the way that it does, a really big turn in the road for me was kind of asking, why do my kids need to be in school for 8 hours a day?
Yeah. Why do they need to be in school for 8 hours a day? Why are all kids held to the exact same standard, which is slowly falling off?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at some other successful countries out there, and the biggest thing for them in education, I mean, the biggest thing for them is they'll say you need to get rid of standardized testing.
Right.
Because not all kids are standard. Kids aren't standard, in fact.
And neither of our children are standard.
No.
Neither of them learn in a worksheet, sit at a desk, traditional setting. That's just not how they learn.
I was horrible in school. My entire career as a student, I was terrible at school. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't comprehend some of the things that were being said in a large class scenario. And it wasn't until I got into VoTech school and I went into a shop and like put my hands on things that I started to thrive. Yeah. I had a little bit of that in high school. We had some really cool programs at our high school that allowed for that. And I excelled in those classes. And this homeschooling, because it's not a teacher trying to teach 10, 15, 20, 30 kids in a class, you can't put everything hands-on, whereas we could take our girls, or even if we got together with some friends who also homeschool and we wanted to do a project together and teach them something and do it hands-on, we could.
Right.
Because it's such a small scenario. They're our focus.
And they can do it their way, in a way that works for them. There's this quote, and nobody knows who it's actually attributed to, but it's, everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it's stupid.
Exactly. Exactly.
And our children, you know, we're really big about not divulging a lot of our children's personal lives online. That's their story to tell if they ever decide they want to. But reading is neither of their strengths.
Correct.
And the traditional schooling structure is 100,000% built on the ability to read. And if you cannot read at the standard that they have set for a third grader or a first grader, you are going to get left behind.
Constantly.
That is a failure.
Right.
Of the system, not the child.
Sure, no. And it's unfortunate for the teachers that are in these scenarios, because they can't slow down any more than they're going a lot of times, because they have 20 other kids plus depending on where you live, the classes can be giant, you know? And so they can't slow down. It's not possible.
Absolutely. And I'm not, that's not.
It's not their fault.
None of this conversation is a fault at teachers.
Absolutely.
This is an issue. This is like, I'm not mad at small grassroots politicians. I'm mad at the entire system that they are working within. Right. So I'm not mad at the teachers. I'm mad at the Department of Education. I'm mad at Rockefeller 100 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. not, this isn't about teachers. I love teachers. I think they have one of the hardest jobs on the planet. And that, again, could never be me. Could right. never be. I like my kids enough to homeschool them, and that's about it.
Right.
So anyway, those are kind of the big things that we had to muddle through. We talked so much. We had so many conversations about this over the course of, it was probably like 18 months.
Easily 18 months. And, you know, the little bits that started even years before that,
yeah.
you know, of us just having it on your mind and thinking every now and then, okay, if we decide to do this, if
right.
we want to pull the trigger, what does this look like?
Yeah.
What does it look like for our everyday life? What does it look like for our girls' everyday life, which is even more important to mm-hmm. us? And the truth of the matter for us in the end is it looks awesome.
Yeah.
And it gives us the opportunities that we want.
Right. And
which
the freedom.
Is, right. The freedom. There you go. There's
yeah,
the word I was
that's
looking
the big
for.
Word.
And if we wanted or had the opportunity to travel somewhere and stay for a while, we can, knowing that we can bring our educational stuff with us.
Right.
And make that happen right then and there. You know, we want to teach them some science stuff. We go walk through the mountain. We love to go to the mountains. And
yeah.
so we go walk through the mountains and say, yeah. look at this stream and look at these birds. And let's identify what these birds are. Whatever.
Nature journaling.
You know, yeah.
Nature journaling. So let's go back to you actually like kind of flipping that switch. It sounds crazy, but I mean, it was July 6th. 2023.
Oh, you have the date.
Because we were in Michigan.
Okay, yeah.
We are sitting at a park in Michigan. Our best friends live there. We try to go visit them every summer because Michigan summers are
amazing.
The most beautiful reprieve from living in the devil's butthole in July. And so we are sitting on a park bench. It's our last day.
Yep.
The girls have like made friends as they do everywhere they go. Going back to that socialization piece.
Yep.
When you have children that are as kidnappable as ours are, then
so kidnapped.
It's not, I'm so not concerned about our kids' ability to make friends, but they're running around and we were just sitting there in silence. Like we weren't talking.
Yeah.
And you just said, I'm ready to seriously talk about homeschooling.
Yeah.
And I can remember being like,
don't scare them
don't
away.
Don't spook it. Don't spook it. But it really came out of left field for me.
It did. I think it was sitting in that moment for me, sitting in a park across the country at our friend's place and thinking, you know, we really could stay as long as we wanted to stay if we were doing this differently. Mm-hmm. And it was our first trip there, if I'm not mistaken. Was it our first or second trip there?
I don't remember. We've been there a few times.
Maybe it was our second trip. I can't
yeah,
remember.
It was our second trip.
Second trip.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of fell in love with this place at this time of the year and just the amazingness that it was. But anyways, all that to say that we're sitting in this moment and this moment is going to end because we needed to get back.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to get back, rightfully so. With time to prepare. It was a couple weeks out from school. We wanted the girls to get back on a regular social clock and
yep.
our sleeping in their own rooms and all the things that you do right before school starts, the craziness. And so, but sitting there and thinking, man, and it could have been anywhere. We could have been
yeah.
in Colorado. We could have right. been at the beach. We could
but
have been.
But we were in one of our favorite right. places, which makes it a little bit sweeter.
It is.
And I remember being a little frustrated because we were already committed to the next year
sure.
of school. Like we had signed a contract. We were locked
right.
in for the next year. And I remember being a little bit like, couldn't come to this decision 6 months ago. But again, going back to the conversation we were having earlier, I am so thankful that it wasn't a situation where we were kind of not forced, but forced to just jump in head first. I have had the last almost whole year to research curriculum, to shape my business and my content creation, to shift the way our family works, to get friends on board. I
yeah.
like feel like
all
I'm
the,
like
all the ducks
all the
in
things.
A row.
Yeah.
All the ducks in a row. That
I feel
you don't
very
think
ready
yeah.
to do this. And it would have been like scary and short and quick
Right.
If we had not been, so it's just, our whole story is really just the reminder that God really does know what he's doing, and his plans are so much better than even our best laid ones, yep. Even when it seems like it's something.
Oh, it can be so frustrating.
It's frustrating, right?
It's so frustrating. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about our kids being homeschooled, but in the end, any situation where you think you know what's best,
yeah,
is where we make the mistake. And when that right time is and all of that, he's got a better idea.
Right.
And so it just, it really did. We look back on it and now we can look back on it and say, wow.
I'm so thankful.
Right. I think it worked out the best it could work out. If we would have done it way back when we talked about it, it wouldn't have been easy. Who knows? We may have even failed.
Yeah.
And same thing if we'd have rushed into it.
Yeah.
Now you had the chance to not just look up curriculums, but figure out the curriculums that will work best for each child mm-hmm. separately. And if we'd have rushed in, we'd have just got
whatever we could get.
Whatever we could get. Yeah.
You know, and again, like, it comes down to God being in control. Like, if that was what we were supposed to do, I fully believe that God would have held our hands and walked us through it. And it's not even that we would have necessarily failed, but this is our story. This is our song. This is how it was supposed to go. And that doesn't mean that we didn't grind our teeth a little bit, that we didn't butt heads a little bit along the way, that it wasn't challenging or frustrating. But in the end, it sounds cheesy, but like, I look back at, let's say, the whole 9 years that we've been parents, and I'm just really thankful that it went the way that it did.
Sure. Absolutely.
The girls are so excited.
Oof.
They are almost to a problematic degree just because, you know, it can be a little bit harder to get up and get going and commit to the traditional schooling when you know you're
next year is going to look completely different.
Exactly. But they are so ready. We are counting down. One of the things that I think we're all really excited about is that we've used this word freedom a lot, but just the freedom to explore other things that they're interested in and not be exhausted.
Right. You got the full day of school. Then you go do the after school activities.
And homework and studying.
And you're just blown up by the end of that. They are exhausted already. And so it's exciting to see what we can fit in the day and not be exhausted.
Right. Like, you know, they, I mean? You know, we did the whole school homework extracurricular thing for a couple of years this last year. And I don't know if this was just because we knew we were going to be homeschooling and we just decided to take a little break, but we really didn't do any extracurriculars.
Yeah.
This year, Pace did cheerleading at school. That's about really it.
Yeah.
And so that's been really nice. But I want my kids to explore sports that they're interested in and the arts and other things, teams and things of the like. So I'm really looking forward to, I'll run them to something almost every afternoon when we're not having to do the rigmarole all day.
Sure. And it's a lot easier for them to be committed to those things because when they get out of school, they're not exhausted.
Right.
Some days they get out and they're like, oh yeah, I want to go do t-ball or soccer or whatever it is. And some days they get home and they're exhausted. And they're like, I really don't want to go today.
Simply just from like emotionally regulating all day.
Sure.
You know?
And so that's a whole nother conversation.
Another thing I'm really excited about is this is kind of our final institutional connection.
Yeah.
Right? We're both self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
We are at a really grassroots church that really feels like the early church. It feels like community. It doesn't have that, you know, more like mega church feel to it. And so traditional schooling is really our last thing, like tying us to the matrix, I guess, other than freaking taxes. But, you know,
what you gonna do?
And so just, again, the freedom that comes from being in charge of your own life. I put up a reel a couple of weeks ago talking about how, yeah, sure, homeschooling is hard, but you're already doing hard things, sending your kids to school every day, keeping up with the paperwork and making the lunches and keeping the uniforms clean and running them from thing to thing and having exhausted children and the projects and the teacher communication. That's hard.
Yeah.
What you are doing right now with your kids in traditional school is difficult. You are simply trading one hard for another.
Yep.
And I think just the knowledge that you can pick your hard.
Absolutely.
You get to choose what kind of hard you want to walk through. And so for me in this season, I want the kind of hard that looks like having my kids around all the time. And yes, having less free space and less independence, but having not having to do the morning rush and not being away from them all day and not having another adult be the one that is speaking into their lives and educating them more than I am. That's the hard that I want to pick in this season.
Sure.
And so I think that was a big mindset shift as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is, you know, we're not kidding ourselves on will it be difficult?
Right.
It will be. It doesn't matter what you do in life. There's going to be difficult times and difficult things. And so, like you said, you're picking the one that you want. Mm-hmm. You know, it's already hard doing all those things. Plus, you get the exhaustion from your children and stuff. And sure, we won't have a lot of independence maybe for the next few years, but we only get them for so many years anyway.
That was a really big one for me as well was, yeah, no, I'm not going to be able to have from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. to myself every day to work and run errands and relax and whatever I want, you know, keep the house up, et cetera. But in the grand scheme and timeline of my life, these years are really short.
They're going quick.
And they're going really quickly. And so, you know what? I know that if you're in a certain mindset, hearing this is going to probably feel off-putting. I hope that you know me well enough and like can give the grace to know that's not how I mean it. But like, I have plenty of time to do whatever I want and run my days the way that I want them to when they're out of my house.
Yeah.
Plenty. Years Absolutely. Upon years upon years. And shifting that mindset has been really huge.
And it gives us the opportunity to involve our kids in parts of the day that they don't get involved in.
Yeah.
And so just some other opportunities for them to see what it's like to be an adult.
Yeah.
You know, and bring them places and stuff. Sure, it won't be independently, but there'll still be times when you go do your thing and I watch the girls 100%. And I go do my thing and you watch.
We have, my parents are here. They're freaking incredible. They keep the girls pretty much whenever they can.
Sure.
They're very open to that. So that's really helpful as well. I posted the other day that the only real parenting hack is to live close to involved grandparents.
Oh my gosh. So wonderful.
What are you nervous about with homeschooling?
I think still a little bit of the stress level. I think for everybody. I'm still curious to see what, you know, our first 6 months look like.
Yeah.
And I think we'll learn from it and we'll push through. And like I said, there's always a hardship in a scenario that you never even thought of. So we're, you know, you're planning to start a business or you're planning to do this or do that, whatever it is. And you say, okay, what's going to be hard about this? You hone in on those things and you get good at those things, or you try to prepare yourself as well as you can, just like having a child.
Mm-hmm.
And when that child comes into play or that business comes up, all of a sudden, there's new things that nobody talked about.
Right.
And so, and that's okay. Like, that's life. That's part of life. But I am, you know, I'm still a little nervous about that. But it's good nerve. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the excitement outweighs the nerve.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I mean, I think my concern is the same. Is just, what's it going to look like to continue to be a full-time content creator and bring in an income and homeschool and have them home.
Yeah.
And I got a little bit in my head about that the first day of spring break last week. And thankfully, I mean, I Marco Polo'd Kylie and kind of expressed some of that to her. And it wasn't a, we've made a mistake or this isn't going to work. It was just more, oh, is this going to maybe be harder than I thought it was? Am I going to be able to juggle this? And she, of course, had the best input. And she was like, God did not bring you this far and lay this on your heart and make you so confident. This is what's next for your family to get there and go, oh, figure it out.
Just drop you off.
Yeah. Or bye. Like, brought you this far. You know, he's gonna. Yeah. That doesn't mean, like you said, that doesn't mean that it won't be hard. That doesn't mean that there won't be unexpectedly difficult parts of it. But do I actually trust that this is what God wants for our family and what he's called us to, me and our children and you and all of us together? If the answer to that is yes, then I really don't have anything to be stressed about.
No, I think the fruit of it will outweigh the tough part.
That's good.
I mean, here we are. It's 40 minutes in and not one of them, knock on wood, has come to the door yet.
He still does miracles.
He does.
God still does miracles. He has
every single day
sealed that door with some kind of holy
thing.
Repellent. That's the only way that this has happened on a Sunday afternoon.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully that's helpful. Just if you're in the midst and you're processing through, I get a lot of correspondence and feedback from people who are considering it, who are on the fence, who have the same concerns and questions that we have had. Obviously, we're talking about 5 to 9 years worth of conversations and questions and struggling and getting us to this point. And you can't fit that in 45 minutes of a podcast interview. But hopefully that this was helpful and answered some questions and also just kind of gives a peek behind the curtain that this isn't a decision that we just was really easy.
Right. No,
it wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't something that we really naturally fell into. Like we worked for this. We toiled for it. We sacrificed for it. My hope is that there is a sense of harvest to it. You know, you just said like the fruit will outweigh. And I think it will. I think this is, I have no doubts for any of the concerns or stresses that I have. None of them are that this is what's best for our children.
Right.
Like I have there is no question marks for that. Like they're so on board about it. The data, the books that I've read, knowing my children, I really do think this is going to be such a good move for them, from everything from their education to their emotional, physical, spiritual well-being. I just think this is going to be such a good move. We have so many friends that are jumping in, doing the same thing as us. You know, that a lot of them, this is their first year. And so I'm so blessed to not be walking into this alone. I have a veteran homeschooler that she was homeschooled as my best friend who is, she is my hero. She's like my greatest asset in this. But then also just having women online and in real life that we're all walking into this together. I'm really proud of us. You know, I think millennial mothers, we get some and no, we don't do it perfectly. But I think if there's one thing you can say about this generation of mothers, it's that we really do put our kids first, sometimes to our detriment. And that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, if you are like jumping into this or if this piques your interest, I would highly suggest you go back and listen to episode 284 of this podcast. It is Kids Need to Be Outside and Why Schools Stop Making Sense with Jenny Urich. That conversation really sums up the heart of homeschooling and the why of homeschooling for myself. And I think for a lot of people, and Jenny is my homeschooling idol, I would say. She is freaking incredible. I love her. I've read her book. I've followed her forever. So I'd highly suggest listening to that episode. Listen to it together as a couple, maybe, because the next step is going to be just start having a bunch of conversations. Just like open the door to dialogue and be open-minded and don't be offended by one another's questions or doubts, even if those questions and doubts are about you.
Yeah. You got to talk and realize it's not on your timeline. If at all possible, talk to other resources, people you know who maybe are doing it already or have done it, or just thinking about doing it so you can compare research notes.
Yeah. All right. We love you guys. Peace out. Thank you. All right, that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Crappy Christian Podcast. And hey, by the way, if you super loved it, can you go leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening? That'd be awesome. All right, see you next week.